Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. If you would, go ahead and take out your bulletins, get ready for your, with the workout sheet and everything like that. However, you're going to write something else down before we begin. So get your pencils or pens ready. You can write it on the back of your bulletin, wherever you want to write this. If you have a little calendar, maybe you want to put it on your calendar. But May 24th, at 10:30 a.m., that's 2 weeks from today, by the way, just to let you know, there will be a community service in conjunction with the Assumption Fest. It will be held on Main Street in there in Assumption, where the stage usually is right there on Main Street. There will be, like I said, the community worship service that day. We will not be having service here that day. We are going to be participating in that. So please remember that. Write that down. Do you remember what time I said?
10:30.
What time should you be there?
10:15.
10:15. There you go. Okay, I'll just, whatever. All right, so just remember that. Don will be sending out messages, and we'll get that in next week's bulletin and that. But just remember that on the 24th, we'll be doing or participating in the community service. There'll be four pastors that will be speaking that day. You could see some of the looks on your faces. I am one of them. Unfortunately, you got to listen to me again. However, we're not going to be going a half hour each. Okay, so we're splitting it up and just kind of let you know that. So on that day, please come and support that. We're hoping that this turns into an annual event. If it does rain, we'll make the announcement. If it all depends on how many people are there, we'll either go at the Masonic Lodge or we'll go to the First Christian Church if there is rain. Remember, also after that is the memorial service that Sunday. And then after that is the community luncheon thing after that. So just kind of put that on your in your notes there as well. So please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12 in just a few moments. Of course, today is Mother's Day. Wyatt, what did you get your mom for out of the jar? Is that her favorite? Well, just to let you know, that's mine too. So, okay. But you can give it her, you know, next time you get it too. All right. Sociologists, psychologists, psychiatrists, law enforcement, educators, social workers, those in pastoral ministry, remind us continually of the importance of the home. I did not hear that. The importance of the home, what I'm talking about is the family unit, when I make that comment. The importance of the home, a mother, a father, the children, the influence of the home. That family unit has been the subject of many books, countless articles, in numerous speeches and sermons, talking about the importance of the unity within the family. Countless studies show the importance of both mothers and fathers in their God-given roles and calling of His design for the family unit. Even when unfortunate circumstances take place that causes a division in that unit, it does not remove the importance of the calling that God has for those individuals in their roles. Children need a father. Children need a mother. Today we're looking at, of course, Mother's Day. So we're looking at the ministry of a Christian mother. Now, dads, doesn't mean you're off the hook. Yours is coming next month and a little bit today. But today we're talking about the importance of a Christian mother. And I also want to make this comment. It's kind of touched on already, as Nola mentioned. And when we're talking about Mother's Day, we're not just talking about the biological role. We're talking about those who are upcoming to be mothers, hopefully one day. Those who have helped raise children within the church as being that motherly figure. I can look back at my life and see many different ladies who had an influence in my life that weren't even biologically related to me. People, ladies in our church who sometimes needed to take and bonk me on the head a little bit. Okay? So when I'm talking about the Christian mother, yes, I'm talking about the biological role, I get that, but I'm talking to all ladies here today. Whether you're 27 or whether you're 107 or whether you're 17, the coming up age, however you want to put that, the importance of being that motherly figure to those that God has called you to be that motherly figure to. You know, it's not just the fact that you've been given a job. It's the fact that you have a ministry to do as that motherly figure. That's why we're talking about the ministry of a Christian mother. While the God-designed family unit is usually made up of a man and a woman and children. Sometimes maybe the children don't come right away. We see instances in the Bible where the children didn't come, but it's still the mother and the father, the man and the woman that God has designed for a family. But you look at that, you have the man, you have the woman, the mother, however you want to put that, the children. Who is in the center of that unit? The mother. She is in the center. I can remember lots of times my mother had to go be the in-between when my dad would probably like to really have kicked my butt. And my mother showed the grace and the kindness. And then there was times that she just let him have it. Let him have me, however you want to put that. Today's mothers, though, face a number of complex problems, challenges, if you want to put that. Now, yes, they've always faced challenges. There's always been those issues. But it seems like more and more our society is after to destroy the biblical concept of a mother. Our society looks down on what is often called negatively the stay-at-home mom. Now, this is not a message against women working. That's not what this is. This is not putting women down that are in the workforce. But it is true. Women face criticism when they choose to stay home and raise their children. It is true that they are encouraged more and more not to do that. That some type of negativity upon them when they stay home to raise their children. Pre-World War II, most women did not work. If you did work, you were young or single or you were a widow. The majority of women. And if you did work, you were a teacher or something like that. You really did not work in the factories. World War II changed all that, especially in our society. Women had to go to work. I mean, if it wouldn't have been for the women in the factories, we wouldn't have had the success that we had. But post-World War II, a lot of things changed. I think it's very important and needed that we encourage our mothers, our grandmothers, and those ladies that we look to in a motherly role to remind them that God has called them to motherhood. I say, even if they're not their biological mother or grandmother, God has called you to be a mother to those around you. You have been given a ministry. Like it or not, God has given you a ministry to be a mother. So today, as I said, this message is for all women. It's not just those who've had children or will have children. It's to all women that God has called you to be that Christian influence to those, especially children, and other women, other mothers around you. Grandma Jean, there you are, I can see you now. We need your influence on the younger mothers. Younger mothers, we need you to look forward to the years to come in serving God in your ministry role. So if you would, please stand with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a loyal calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Let us pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for the opportunity to come here together as a church family, to worship you, to sing songs to you, to give you our praises, and knowing that we can lay our concerns at your feet. We thank you for the many different blessings that have taken place this week that we've talked about. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. And we ask you now just to open our eyes, open our ears, and especially open our hearts to the message that you have for us today. Would you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Before you sit down, see, you got to wait till I tell you to sit down. Shake somebody's hand next to you. Don't go wandering off. Shake one person's hand, then go ahead and sit, have a seat. Okay, that's good enough. Have a seat. The guy rings you in sometimes. Motherhood is a calling. Motherhood is a calling. A lot of times when we use that word ministry, we usually go to the role of a pastoral ministry. You know, the guy up here, you know, giving a message, or who's ever up here giving a message, or the one that goes to the hospital visits and just things like that. But there's a lot of different ministries that take place when you think about it. There's a call for the ministry for somebody to be a worship leader. Today, Nola was our worship leader. You next week too? So next week she'll come back and you'll hear some more good songs. There is that call, the ministry of missions, both home and abroad. There's those that are called to be camp counselors or lifeguards. Right, Riley? What's that? There's a lot of different ministries when you really think about it. There's those who serve at food banks. There's those who have a prayer ministry. We need to recognize the calling of God to the ministry of motherhood. God's plan and purpose for you. As I said before, yes, the family unit is made up of both men and women. Today we are, though, as I said, focusing on mothers. Ladies, no matter what your age may be right now, God has a plan and a purpose and a ministry that He's called you to. And maybe that does not mean necessarily, maybe right now, a biological mother. But it doesn't mean that you cannot be motherly to those around you. Philippians 13, verse 14, Paul says this: I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me homeward in Christ Jesus. Several years ago, before we moved to Texas, Lori and I went to what was called a small church conference. Okay, basically it was centered around the small churches, like 150 and less. And in that conference, one of the things that they pointed out was the need, not just the desire, but the need for older women, please don't take that negatively, for older women to be the mentor towards a younger woman. There is a desperate need for that. Like I say, not just the desire, but you look around and we see a lot of different things taking place in our society. There's just no doubt about it. We don't need to go into particulars, but just that need for Christian ladies to take younger Christian ladies kind of under their wing to help them press on toward the goal that Paul's talking about here. It's about helping them mature, disciple them, if you want to put it that way, to come into serving the Lord, as well as you fulfilling and coming closer to the Lord in His plan and purpose for you. My point that I'm simply saying here is that Scripture gives us several examples of women who pressed on towards the goal in the ministry that they were called to. Now, we're not going to go through every single one of them, but women such as Hannah, who surrounded herself in prayer and dedicated her son Samuel to the service of the Lord. Rahab, the lady who protected the spies in Jericho. Jochebed protected her son Moses and was then allowed to care for him later on and help raise him. Rebekah, again, was guided by prayer. A lot of times when we think of mothers, we think of Elizabeth, who waited a long time to get her child, John the Baptist. And then her cousin, of course, who was probably the first mother that we often think of. Mary, there you go. When you look at those examples, let's just say Mary, for example. When Mary was told that she was going to take and give birth to God's son, you don't have to say it out, but do you remember what her comment was? Basically, it was just simply this: God, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. That's what you want, that's what I'll do. Even though she didn't understand everything at that point, she didn't know what that all entailed to be the mother of the Savior of the world and what He was going to have to go through and the pain she would experience. She simply said, basically, like I said there, Lord, I'm your servant. So be it. And we need to take and have older women to help the younger women, and the younger women to help each other to have that kind of faith, to demonstrate that, to be that Christian lady, that Christian mother that God has called you to be. There's some things that we have to point out today. A Christian mother is called to lead her children in worship. Now remember, we're not talking about just biologically here. We're talking about with one another. A Christian mother is called to lead her children in worship. And when I say worship, I don't mean just simply on a Sunday morning. Let's just take for, you know, you're looking at the younger generation, kids, whether it be Bible school or just simply at home. You are called to help those, that younger generation, to understand what it truly means to come in spirit to worship God. Whether we do it at home, whether you're doing it on the lawnmower as you're mowing, to sing songs, it's not just to sing songs, it's about having that heart towards God. When you really look at worship, that's what worship is. It's about having that heart towards God and praising Him, thanking Him. As Nolan talked about, I didn't know this, I hadn't heard of it before. When Nolan made that comment, how'd you put that? What if you didn't have what you didn't thank Him for today? See, that's what we need her for. I get it all messed up.
We need her for a lot more than that.
But we need women. And men, your day is coming. So don't think that you're off the hook here. Next month, you guys are getting this. But ladies, we need you. A Christian mother is called to teach her children Scripture. Now, if you're going to teach the younger generation Scripture, that means you would need to what? You need to know what you're teaching. You know, I can remember going to both my grandparents' house and staying overnight, especially like at the farm, or my grand Buchanan, who didn't live on a farm. And every night that I would stay there, yes, she would tell me the story, Goldilocks and the Three Bears and just things like that, or whatever. But every night, we also did this. She always told a Bible story. Now, a lot of times it was the same one that I had the last time I was there. And usually it was something like Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, some of the more Sunday school, I guess if you want to put it like that. But every time I stayed there, I knew that I was going to get a Bible story. Sometimes it'd be out of a children's book. Sometimes it'd just be just telling me the story. But we need ladies to do that. Now, we're just centering on the ladies today. A Christian mother is called to teach her children about Christian ideals. In other words, what does it mean to be a Christian? What are the beliefs that we believe as Christians? And a Christian mother is called to be the example of Christian grace. You're called to be the example of Christian grace. Let's talk about that for just a second. Who showed us perfect grace? Jesus. Okay? He continually shows us perfect grace all the time. He went to the cross, died for us, rose again, so that He could give us that grace as our Savior. Women, because guys sometimes really mess this up. That's why I think there's just no doubt God has created us different. He's created men and women differently. No matter what society may say, we're created differently. And women tend to be more graceful than men in the way they show it. It's just the way it is. He's created you to be more tender-hearted than what the man often is. Now, I'm not saying all the time, and I'm not knocking men here. I'm not knocking women. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's created each one of us with certain capabilities, with certain aspects. In being that example of Christian grace, he's telling you to be like Christ. That doesn't mean letting people off the hook for their sins, but it's about being forgiving. A Christian mother is called to lead her children in worship, to teach her children the scriptures, to teach her children about Christian ideals, and to show that Christian grace. The title Christian mother is not limited, as I said, to the biological definition. It is the role of all ladies within the church. Recognizing the truth that help is needed in being that Christian mother. Help is needed in being that Christian mother. One of the greatest mistakes, tragedies even, that takes place in ministry, no matter what the ministry may be, whether it's a pastoral ministry or whatever the person is doing, is the attitude of not needing any help. Or trying to take everything on, or being part of every single thing that comes along. That is a huge mistake. For one thing, it will wear you out, and it's also the fact that you are taking the opportunity away from others to help you when you have that kind of attitude. Those in ministry need to understand that sometimes we just simply need help. And who's in ministry? All of us should be. A Christian mother understands need for God's help. In other words, you can't do it on your own. Now, some ladies, most ladies, would probably say, yeah, I need a lot of help, but my husband needs more help than I do. And you're probably right. But in understanding that your role in the ministry that you've been called to, and this isn't the only ministry that you're talking about, but this is the one that we're talking about today, or the only ministry that you're to be part of. But you are to understand that you do need God's help. And to receive that help, God has given you the tools to help you. One, the Bible needs to be part of your personal life. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just once in a while. The Bible needs to be part of your personal life. God has called you to a Christian ministry. Now remember, we're not just talking about biology here. We're talking all ladies here. God has called you to be part of this ministry. The Bible needs this to be part of your personal life. Not just a recommendation. You need to be in God's Word to know how to do the ministry. To share those stories. Two, personal prayer and family prayer are essential in the family unit. How many times have we heard the family that prays together stays together? And there's a lot of truth to that. Personal prayer and family prayer are essential in a family unit. Now, ladies, I'm not saying you're the only one that's responsible for this. But you definitely have a responsibility in this. You need to set aside time for your own personal prayer, for strength, for learning, whatever it may be, and then also set aside time for family prayer. But that first part is, I think, the one that we all kind of miss. Taking time to lift yourself up in prayer. And it's not just the ministry of being a Christian brother. It's whatever ministry God has called you to. Whether it's the worship leader or the one that's lifting other people up in prayer, you need to set aside time each and every day to lift yourself up in prayer. To thank God for the blessings he's given you, and also to seek him in what he wants you to do that day, and each and every day, and for the strength to do what you've been called to do. Because if you're thinking you're going to be able to go through this thing called ministry, whatever it may be, or this thing called motherhood, or being a mother figure to those around us all on your own, it's not going to succeed. You will wear out. And it's the same thing with any ministry. 3, walk in faith, claiming the promises of Christ. Promises like how he has promised to always walk with us. Promises to give us grace. Promises to give us strength. Promises to give you forgiveness. Ladies, please don't misunderstand this, but there isn't a one of you here that's perfect. But you are perfect for the ones Christ has called you to. Yes, we have all sinned. None of us are perfect in that aspect. But you are perfect for the one that Christ has called you to be the motherly figure to help out. And when we look at the promises within his scripture, it gives us strength. It will give you strength. And follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, in order to follow that leadership of the Holy Spirit, you have to be doing the first 3 things. Because you know what? That's how the Holy Spirit is leading you. Through your personal prayer. Through your understanding and being the Bible being part of your personal life. And through you thanking Christ for the way he's walking with you and the promises he's made. A Christian mother needs the help of a Christian husband. Guys, this is for you today, this part here. Although the big part's coming next month. A Christian mother needs the help of a Christian husband. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it talks about how, as believers, we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it talks about whether it be business, whatever it may be in. But it especially talks about in our closest relationships, our friendships, and in our marriage. Now, when you look at that, if you want to go back and look at it, you don't have to do it right now, but if you want to go back on your own and do that. When it talks about being yoked, you would not yoke up or hook up 2 animals who are not of the same strength. Because if one is stronger than the other one, or decides to go a different way than the other one, either whatever you're plowing or pulling is not going to, it's not going to work so well. Now, he's not saying here to have the same talents or the same cause. That's not what that's saying. But what he's saying is have the same attitude, the same desires to serve God. The same is true with our friendships, and especially between the relationship between a husband and wife. If a husband and wife are moving different directions spiritually, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Not that there isn't issues and problems with a husband and wife, we all know. Nobody gets along perfectly. Each and every one of us has probably had little different discussions with our spouse. But if one is not committed to serving Christ the way that he's called you to, there's going to be issues. And this is especially for the younger ladies and the younger men. You may be thinking, well, you know, I got a while before I'm looking for a girlfriend. Right, you're not supposed to be looking right now, but one day you will be. Or ladies, you're going to be one day looking, for a husband. You need to look at being a Christian man to begin with. A Christian mother needs the help of her church family. A Christian mother needs the help of her church family. In other words, don't just attend church, but be active in your church. And it's not just about being here for every single thing, but the more we do together, the more we get to know one another. The more we get to those that we can feel confident in sharing things with, or coming to people with our issues or our weaknesses. You know, a few moments ago, I shared about the mistake that some have made in ministry, and I'll be the first to admit I'm one of them. As far as sharing with others about different issues that I was facing in ministry or whatever, because now, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the pastor of the church. I can't go up to this young, fine gentleman right here and say, I got an issue here that I got to mess with. I can't go to them a week with packing plant and say, I got a problem. I should. But you see, and that's one of the mistakes that we make, whether it be in pastoral ministry or church family or whatever. Mothers, sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need encouragement. Sometimes you've got a lot going on your plate. Even if there's a praise going right now, you need your church ladies to help you, to lift you up. Sometimes you're just simply having a hard day, and you need to take and call Carol up. I'll give them your number later. But you get what I'm trying to say here? When you're a church family, you can lift one another up. You can help each other. We help each other. Perhaps the greatest contribution that as a parent that can be made will be to raise your children up the way God has called you to. And like I say, it's not just the children in your own family, two young girls, you know, coming up. It's not just them, but it's the younger generation within our church. Men, husbands, in order for your wife or for the members of our church to do the best that they can do in their ministry, requires our support. So in other words, in order for mothers to do the best within our church, we have to support them. We have to encourage them. Now, that's more than just saying, Kayla, come up and giving you a pat on the back. Dark-haired Kayla. You'll get that joke later on. It's more than just saying, hey, you're doing a good job. It's about being there for them and telling them, you know what? I prayed for you this week. I want to encourage you to be in the Word like we're supposed to be. Because sometimes we simply just need to do that. I've had many pastors come up to me, pastors that I was close with, and say, Brian, when was the last time you actually took time for Bible study for yourself and not preparing a message or a Bible study? If you want women of our church to strive to serve Christ to be their best ability, men, we got to be doing the same thing. If we're going to truly support them, we got to be doing the same thing. And youth, even if you just graduated college, listen to your mother. You did not hear me say this because you're still at the young age. You got to do whatever your mother tells you. Got it? But as adults, you still got to do what your mother tells you. No, it's about taking and simply having respect for those ladies who are trying to help you, to try to lead you. Is she going to be perfect? No. But she is the perfect one that God has chosen for you. Listen to your mother. Love your mother. She's teaching you to be devoted to Christ. You have an example to follow. Ladies, thank you. Even if your biological family or daughter or son isn't here right now, you have a family here today. You have your church family to help support, to lift one another up, to bring up the younger generation. To answer that calling of being the Christian mother. In a few moments, we're going to take communion with one another. Before we do, though, I just want to lead us in prayer. As we come to communion, of course, we remember what Christ has done for us on the cross, dying for us and rising again. If he had not done that, you could not be a Christian mother. You could be a form of religious mother, I guess. But if he had not truly gone to the cross and died for us, rose again, to know that he lives right now and will return one day, you could not be that Christian mother without him doing that. So when we take communion, yes, it's about remembering how he went to the cross to die for us, to die for our sins so that we could be saved, but it's also about giving us that calling. It's also about helping in whatever the calling is that he's called you to. And today we're talking about that being that Christian example. Christ went to the cross because he loves us. And even if you were the only one, he still would have gone to that cross. I'm convinced of that. Of course, we have those words from Jesus and Mark. And in Acts, it talks about how they were together breaking bread. And that has two different meanings to it. One was they're constantly in fellowship with one another, enjoying meals. Two, it talks about how they were continually, every time they got together, they took part in the Lord's Supper with one another. Because it is one of the ways that we show unity. In remembering what Christ has done for us today, today we come in unity, remembering, thanking him, and praising him for what he's done.